Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Steele and Eisner podcast, now officially known as Staying Aligned. I am your host today, Alexander Eisner. I am not, unfortunately, joined by my better half, Mr. Sean Steele. He might pop his head in later. We might have a genuine Sean Steele sighting here any moment. But I am, however, joined by this is, I believe, your second time on the podcast. We've spoken at each other's seminars. He is a phenomenal practitioner of chiropractic and chiropractic radiology. But more than that, he's actually just a genuinely good guy. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Cliff Tao.
Thank you. I was going to call you Alex, if that's okay, or I was going to say Mr. Eisner.
You can
And
call me whatever you want to call me. Yeah, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. The audience last time was really interested in what you had to say. We had a lot of really good feedback last time, and I think that it's great to have you back. I'm going to, because it's a tight half hour, I'm going to jump right in. But I am going to start back with some of the intro stuff for maybe newer people to you and to the podcast. So talk to me. So you're a DACBAR and a chiropractor. So that means you went to extra schooling after chiropractic college to get that degree. Talk to me about what that allows you to do and what you personally do with it.
Well, that's a good question, Alex. It actually, when it boils down to it, it actually doesn't give me any extra abilities. In terms of legally, anyway, anyone of us, on the podcast, if you have a chiropractic license to practice chiropractic, you can read your own X-rays or MRIs or what have you. I think doing the DACBAR residency just gives me a little more knowledge, a little more competency, maybe. Well, it should, and a little more confidence. And I think that kind of bodes well for if you're looking for someone to, kind of like an expert to look at imaging.
And so what do you do with it? I mean, how are you getting, are you just reading scans? Are you completely out of clinical practice and you're sort of just doing, and I mean, clinical practice of chiropractic, and now you're mostly just dedicated to reading scans. And if so, how do they come to you and what do you do with them?
Yeah, it's a little different than the, or a lot different, I should say, than the typical chiropractor. I did start off, adjusting patients. I would fill in for a couple different friends of mine. I never really had my own chiropractic practice. And then as my radiology practice grew, I did a little bit less of the adjusting. And now we're, 100% radiology practice. We just get images from my fellow colleagues, chiropractors from around the U.S., a little bit beyond too, but mostly U.S.-based chiropractors. And we read them, and I think it's fairly simple. We really just look at pictures, tell people what we think, and that's it.
You make it sound easy. I have a hunch it isn't.
It's not that hard, actually. I love it. I love it.
Now, being a DACBAR, I mean, I'm just imagining, but I could be wrong, but I sort of think or imagine that coming from a background of chiropractic, right, of musculoskeletal expertise, that you probably are more focused in your reviews of these reports, these imaging studies on musculoskeletal injuries than would be your average emergency room radiologist, but I don't know that to be true. Is that, have you found that that's the case?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, at least in my experience, and I highly suspect, that's the case with that all our chiropractors know, especially, my DACBAR colleagues. We see it all the time. We'll see imaging that comes to us as second opinions that are from the ER. And it's obvious. I mean, I used to kind of say, I used to make fun of, the typical medical radiologist, and I'd say, they're blind or half blind or they're just dumb, but they're not. I think they have fully functioning eyes, fully functioning brains. They're extremely smart people, but they're looking for different things. And It's that, but I think it's also the lack of time that they have to read these scans. We're busy too, but they're even busier. They got to read a lot more X-rays, a lot more imaging in a shorter amount of time, and so they have to cut corners or else they can't get their job done. It's a sad state of affairs, I think, in for healthcare, but it's just the way it is, and I've seen it, all over the country.
When you say they're looking for different things, can you elaborate on that? And what are they looking for versus what are you looking for?
So specifically for, ER, you think about, what would cause us to go to the ER? Well, it's got to be a pretty severe condition. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for severe conditions that would change the way they do things. For them, it's like, oh, do we have to admit this person into the hospital for an overnight stay, potentially? Or can we just send them home and tell them to follow up with their family doctor or with their chiropractor, sometime within the next few days or few weeks or something.
So like
So,
if you got into a car accident, you went to the emergency room, they did a, cervical spine MRI. What do you imagine? I mean, this question calls for speculation, but what do you imagine the ER radiologist is looking for in that scan versus let's say that that scan ultimately ends up with that person's chiropractor 3 days later, and they say, you know what, I want to get a second opinion. They send it to you. What are you looking for in that exact same scan?
So in the ER, if you get an MRI, first of all, I think it's extremely hard to get an MRI through the ER because you need a pretty hefty clinical indication to get it. But they are looking for disc herniations, which we see all the time, but they're looking for big ones that are indenting the cord. They're looking for blood on the MRI. They're looking for, of course, fractures, dislocations, and in areas that we don't normally look at. So they'll look at the cord. We normally don't really look at the cord that closely because we know our patients and we don't know there's no issues there with the cord, but they're looking at the cord, and if the cord looks relatively normal, then that, to them is a normal radiology report on that cervical spine MRI. What we should be looking for as chiropractors are more subtle abnormalities that they, not that they miss them, but they don't really care about them because it doesn't impact the way that they're practicing. So smaller disc herniations, annular tears, and then actually we get this a lot where sometimes the ER radiologist will say, oh, there are multiple disc bulges, just to note that they're there, but they're probably not a big deal. But sometimes we see that they're actually herniations instead of bulges, which tends to have a more traumatic etiology, and so we will say that, oh, these are actually herniations, and sometimes they're herniations on top of bulges. I know we're kind of getting into the weeds here, but sometimes subtleties like that, I think, can make can turn a case around, so to speak, from going from, oh, these are just degenerative changes or age-related changes, to now, oh, there's a possibility that these may be traumatic lesions.
Yeah, and so it sounds like not, not to be pejorative, it sounds like they're sort of coming at it from a triage standpoint of, does this person need emergency treatment right now? And the things that would cause that, bleeding, spinal cord impingement, the things that would cause them to be admitted and radically alter their treatment course and prognosis, where when a chiropractor in clinical practice is looking for a read or a review of the same or maybe a subsequent scan, it sounds like they're looking for the causes of pain, right? You've got some subjective findings, and now we want to see what the objective finding is that would match up with it, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, 100%. And so I always tell chiropractors, and I think everyone knows, but I think there's some that don't do it. I think we should always look at the X-rays or MRIs, any kind of imaging that was done, outside of our office. Of course, we always look at the ones that are done in our office, but outside ones, I feel like there's probably a few chiros out there that are just relying on the report. And actually, I think there's a personal injury management group, and they don't think we should be looking at any of those images. But I disagree. I think we should be looking at those. We know the anatomy, the spinal anatomy, especially the best. We know our patients the best, and I think we should be looking at these scans that are done at outside facilities.
I totally agree. I think if you're a chiropractor and you pull up the scan, you see, a disc bulge or a herniation or something that you're looking at, that you're seeing with your eyes. What you're concerned about is that someday in the future you're in some deposition where some attorney goes, "So you disagree with the radiologist who read the report and put that it was a normal finding?" And what you can say is, "No, I don't disagree with the radiologist. I just think that he and I or she and I were looking at different things, or we were looking for different things, right? That person was looking for gunshot wounds or cancer, and I was looking for something maybe a lot more subtle, given that the patient who was sitting in front of me was complaining of radicular pain down their right arm. So I was specifically looking for things that are known to cause that, and lo and behold, there it was. And so I think you can win the reasonableness game by looking at your own scans and seeing the things that make sense to you. And if you see that, I imagine you would be always open to giving it a reread, right? Let's say you get a scan from an emergency room doctor and it's says it's fine, but you see something that's not fine in it, matches up with a subjective finding, you can send that to somebody like you and say, "We're looking for a second opinion on this, specific emphasis on musculoskeletal injury, post-traumatic, and see what you have to say about it."
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to do it, but like I said earlier, anyone can do, not anyone, but any chiropractor can do their own radiology report. You could do your own second opinion, but we'd
I
love
just
to do
mean
it too. I think
if
we
you just
would
if you didn't feel comfortable doing it yourself or writing up your own radiological report, that you could send it to somebody like you who writes such a report and could corroborate, "Yes, I do see what you're seeing." Now, that brings up something else that you were talking about a second ago, which is sending along, imaging history or specific clinical findings. Do you look at those? Do you think that's helpful? Is that information that you want? Or do you sort of want to read it blind and not know what you should be looking for, quote unquote?
Oh yeah, that's a very good question, Alex. Because I have we have sometimes we have chiropractors that send us imaging. Actually, most of the imaging we receive, has no extra information attached to it. We don't know even if they have any pain. We just know that the X-ray was done at the chiropractor's office. But we like a little bit of information. I don't like it. I mean, to be honest, I don't want to be bogged down by reading, a whole page. So I say think one or two lines long. Just let me know if there was trauma, where the pain is, maybe something like that. And if you're thinking it might bias us, it does not. Well, it might minimally. But the way we were trained to read our X-rays or any kind of imaging is to read it without that information first. So it's kind of like we look at everything twice. So the first time we look at it, we ignore all the history you give us, any extra imaging finding, and then we look at the study again, and now with that information in our head, and I think it just reprioritizes and makes a report both subjective and objective.
That sounds very scientific
Yeah,
and
sorry.
no,
Probably a little more than what you
apologies.
were
That's
hoping
exactly the way
for.
you would hope that somebody in the medical science field would go about doing something like that, is sort of initially blind, and then with the added information to see if that changes your opinion any. I imagine occasionally it does, right? You look at it and you're like, I see maybe something, and then you come back and you go, "Oh, well, they're having neck pain and their status post car accident. I could see how that might be causing that issue," or something to that effect. Do you now let me ask you this question. I've actually wondered this myself. What is your personal opinion, and then maybe more broadly, the ethics behind writing causation notes into the radiological findings? Because From my perspective, whenever I read, degenerative change in a radiology report, I always think, well, how could you possibly know that for sure? Like maybe so, maybe there are some changes that are always degenerative, but I feel like if you see a herniation or a bulge or a degeneration, how do you know for a fact, based upon the scan you're looking at, that this happened over a period of time due to aging, or if this is something that is more acute and trauma based, or I mean, and maybe you're like, that's cute, Alex. There is actually science behind this, and that's why they write it. Or maybe it's like, but to me, it always seems like a little bit of a leap for the radiologist to opine as to causation on some of that stuff. What's your opinion on that?
I personally, I don't like to opine on like sort of the typical case where there's you're asking for the age of the injury. Especially with X-rays, it's really hard to tell. And so we generally don't opine on the age unless it's in the indication. It says, hey, tell me if this is new or old or something like that. And then okay, then I'll try to say something. But most of the time, I use the term age indeterminate. We can't tell whether this fracture is new or old. Sometimes we can with X-ray, but in the spine, it's usually a little bit more harder to do than in the extremities. So we try not to. On MRI, it's a little bit easier because if there's a disc bulge, if it's acute, sometimes there would be associated edema. But if there isn't, then we're like, well, maybe it's old trauma. If it's consistent with the date of injury, that's a year ago or something. Then we'll say something like, oh, okay, this disc herniation, it's possibly compatible with the date of injury, which was a year or two ago or something like that. But it's really hard, even with MRI, to tell the age of disc herniations, and I don't think there's really good data to show whether we can call them acute or chronic in most cases. I'd say maybe 10% of disc herniations or less, maybe we can say probably new or probably old. So generally, I don't really say if it's new or old because I don't think we have a very good track record of telling for sure whether what age they are.
Yeah, I mean we see it all the time. And I always feel like they're sort of like arguing for the other side sometimes when they'll say, this is degenerative or chronic, and I'm always like, maybe, I don't know. Like, well, and the other thing is that, as I'm sure you know, although you probably don't hear a lot about it because you don't usually have one-on-one contact with the client, with the patient, but just because there's a clinical finding doesn't mean that there's a subjective complaint, and just because there's a subjective complaint doesn't mean you're going to have a an objective finding. And that disconnect is wild to the lay people out there.
I agree. I think it's even wild for us too, because we see stuff all the time on X-rays, on an MRI, but we don't know if it's relevant or not. And so generally our philosophy is just to mention everything because we don't know the whole clinical picture. But at the same time, I think it biases the chiropractor because we know, we examine the patient and we're kind of expecting to see, say, a disc herniation there. And so sometimes I think overcalls are made, right? They might say, oh, there is a fracture or there is a disc herniation there when there isn't. And I see that, outside of chiropractic too. But it's a powerful bias that unfortunately, is really hard to get rid of.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, well, actually, before we get into, I want to talk about the future of your profession and talk about the future of imaging in a second. But before we get to that, when you're comparing, well, I mean, you sometimes compare, right, current imaging with previous imaging to try to get a sense of if something has changed, gotten worse or better. And I imagine during that process, or even in the initial read process, you have an opportunity to take a look at the radiologist or somebody else's read on the exact same scan. And I'm just wondering, when you do, over a career of doing this, if any trends have emerged, if there's anything that you're noticing or have noticed over time that this is chronically missed, or this is chronically over exaggerated, or this is the, when I'm looking at it for, in retrospect or by comparison, this is a common problem that I'm seeing and running into, and I think other people should be looking out for.
I don't think there are any trends, but it's been pretty consistent where I see errors all the time. And then in that example where you gave there's a prior MRI, for example, and you're trying to compare. It doesn't happen all the time, but I see it. I see them do it. I used to shadow well during my fellowship, at UCI, I would shadow the medical radiologist there, and some of them would look at the prior report, and if they agreed with it, they'd pretty much just copy it and put it in the new report if they didn't see any glaring changes. And I never thought that was a great way to do it. I thought they should kind of look at both blindly and then, kind of come to a consensus on, what changes there are and whatnot. But of course, that takes a long time. But they didn't. They tended not to do it that way. So, but I still see that today. I thought, maybe everyone's trying to better themselves and get more accurate reports. But it's been about the same.
You think that that's based upon sort of a desire to not screw the last guy? Like, well, if he didn't see it, and maybe I see it, maybe I don't. But if I actually note a missed finding, that could hurt the last guy somehow, or hurt his credibility, or legally speaking. So better to not rock the boat. Like, you think that's where that's coming from?
Not all cases, but I definitely saw it when I was there. They'll look at it. They'll look at the who read this prior report. Oh, that's my boss. Okay, I'm not gonna go against his word. I mean, most of the time it wasn't a severe case, like a case where the patient's gonna suffer permanent injury or death. I'm like, well. But still, I don't know. I kind of have a high sense of justice. I still didn't think that was right to do. I guess they're trying to preserve their job, but I focused on, just getting things done right the first time.
I think that speaks to your character. Let me talk about the future. So, in the world of like repeatable, error-prone tasks, computing, programming, computer programming, I think the world of court reporting is going, it's going to end up going this way. But and you know what I'm going to say before I say it, but artificial intelligence, it seems like reading radiological scans is a place that would be ripe for that, where there's just an incredible wealth of data to train an AI model on, and then it could get really good at spotting things that even humans likely would miss. And then beyond that, starting to notice trends that could predict diagnoses before they ever could even be read by a human being. If, if over time you start, it starts to notice that when you see this grouping of pixels, that translates to a cancer diagnosis in 2 years. More than 50% of the time, and it's going to start catching stuff that people can't catch. I just wonder what you think of that. What do you think of the future of reading imaging, and is it threatened by AI? And I mean threatened in potentially a good way, not for necessarily your job security, but for patient outcomes. Or do you think, yeah, overblown, I don't think they're coming for me.
Oh no, I think it's coming, Alex. I wasn't Honestly, I wasn't that worried in the beginning, but I'm getting increasingly worried as I see AI do a better job. Like it's like every month I see a better report come from an AI robot or something. And actually, just recently saw that Google has some AI system that reads imaging and does pretty well, and it's free. I'm like, oh, wow. And I don't
Damn.
know, does it in like 1 second. I'm like, oh my gosh. It takes me 1 second to even open my eyes, So, I think it's coming. I'm not sure what I'm gonna do about it. I think there'll always be some people that use it, because it's fast, it's cheap, it's easy. I worry a little bit about if they ever make, one mistake that's bad, like the AI misses one thing, and then who are they gonna sue? They're gonna sue the chiropractor. Can they sue the AI company? I don't know if they can do that.
That's a great question because obviously from the legal perspective, everyone wants to know, well, who would be liable for that? In the same way that, autonomous cars get into an accident, who do you sue? But just like autonomous cars, if you were to zoom out and look at the accident rates, I mean, it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to see like autonomous cars get into accidents at a massively lower rate than human beings do. So the who do you sue when it gets into an accident question, I think is going to get overshadowed by the, yeah, but we're having tens of thousands of fewer accidents to even have that problem. And I think with radiology, it's going to end up being a similar thing where it's like, yeah, if it misses something, it's a big deal and we don't have a human to point the finger at. But if way fewer things are getting missed, I'm sure you're familiar with all the studies of, radiologists missing things more when they're hungry. I mean, like, you're human, and there's just obviously your capacity for doing nuanced work that requires you to be very on it and visually aware ebbs and flows, right? It's not at a perfectly constant rate at all times. And with a computer, it would be. Or hypothetically, I guess. I just think that stuff is fascinating, and I just obviously there's all kinds of ethical questions and whatnot, but it sounds like you're reading about things that are, I mean, it's not like the distant future. It's like Google's got a tool that's out now.
Oh yeah, I see it happening all the time. So, yeah, I don't know, Alex. That's a good question. Maybe I'm gonna retire early. I don't know.
I don't mean to be a downer, Cliff, that wasn't the point. I just wanted to see, the future. It's coming. It's one of
It's
those topics
coming.
people like to talk about.
It's here now. I think it's gonna come faster than what people think. It just, I mean, exponentially, it seems to be growing like day by day, and it's just getting better. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll
All right. Well,
see.
but before I bum everybody out who's listening, including my guest, which is,
That's
podcasting
okay.
being 101. Let's close on a high note. So, like, if people wanted to send something to you, which I imagine the majority of your work comes from chiropractors who are doing digital X-ray in their offices, walk me through the perfect test case for that. Is it just every single X-ray, or on PI cases, or like when should somebody think I should have someone like Cliff, a DAQ bar, or someone like Dr. Tao take a look at this and write a report for me? What's the perfect case for that?
I tend not to, I don't like to pressure people, because I hate sales, that type of environment. But
Well,
since
that's
you're
why I teed
asking,
it up for you, so you didn't have to sell anybody.
I know. Thank you. But since you're asking, I think every X-ray done at a chiropractic office should have a radiology report. I think it's best that you have a DAQ bar do it. Even better if I do it, or my company does it. And even better if you do, if you have outside imaging from a PI case, you have MRIs from the ER or X-rays from the ER, and you need a second opinion on those. We also do it on a lien too, as you know, and we do that so kind of help everybody out a little bit more, but. But at the same time, we have chiropractors that send us just their PI cases. We have ones that send everything routinely, and then we also have ones that we hear from maybe annually, once a year. They see something that they don't recognize, or they're just wondering about something, and that's when we get it. So that's our kind of stance on that. I think for best patient care. So not necessarily best business practice for the chiropractor, that all X-rays should have a report. best if done by Dakbar, even better if it's me. But I, of course, I'll understand if you can't do that. And I won't judge you.
Well, I would. I'm judging anybody, everybody, all the time. Dr. Tao, if they happen to want to send it to you, how would they do that? How'd they find you?
Oh, there's not many Cliff Taos around, so if you just Google me, you'll find me. They can email me. I don't know if we can put an email. My email's a little it's a little embarrassing. It's a little too long, but it's cliff at cliff@cliff-dacbr.com.
That's not
And I
embarrassing. It could have been like
it's
Cliff, full, the number four, EVF, Cliff four
yeah.
Eva at AOL.com that you made when you were, 16.
Yes. My wife has AOL. I keep telling her to you gotta upgrade.
Can't believe that's still a thing.
It's still around.
Does it still say
AOL,
you've got
Hotmail.
mail when she opens it up?
What's that?
Does it still say you've got mail?
It probably does. But yeah, I handle all the new doctor inquiries manually. We have an onboarding process, so they can email me. We go through the process and we get things going. But we have a, I think, a pretty good system. We take pride on our turnaround time. So generally speaking, we turn things around in a day or so. So you send us something today, you'll get a report back by end of tomorrow.
Seems very reasonable. Dr. Tao, I really want to thank you for coming on and doing this with us again. It's really great information. I think everybody who listens in gets a ton of great information from you. Just a quick plug for our next podcast next month, August 27th. We have Dr. Franzen. Dr. Franzen is on the board of directors for the CCA. He's going to talk to us a little bit about insurance and policy reimbursements. He's turned sort of a public affairs executive, and I think he's going to have some really good information for us from the CCA and from his insights. And then our September podcast with Dr. Mathewson, who's an orthopedic surgeon. So we've got some exciting ones coming up. And then obviously November is our big annual seminar, which we are very excited about. We've got some great speakers already all lined up. So if you're interested in any of that, go to steeleisner.com/events. And you can register for the podcast so you can listen live and check out some information about our upcoming November advanced seminar. Dr. Tao, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And I don't know if you know this, Alex, but I'm going to be there in November too. Apparently. Well, John says I'm going to be there, so I guess
You're
it's
gonna
true.
be there, Cliff. We hadn't announced the speakers yet, and so
Oh.
I
I'm
wasn't
sorry.
gonna
I should have asked before.
I wasn't going to drop the name, but you're right. You're
Oh,
right, Dr.
sorry
Tao.
about
You
that.
are going to be there. And to now everybody who's listening, spoiler,
Oh.
Dr. Tao, one of our speakers at this year's advanced seminar in November. Thank you for the plug. And you know what? Why not? Why not release that information today?
Sorry
That's
about that.
it's an
Sorry.
exclusive for our podcast listeners who now are going to know one of the
Yes.
names from the upcoming seminar, which hopefully that
Spilled the
causes
beans.
people to want to come. If now they've heard a little bit of you and they're like, ah, that guy's interesting. I want to go to that seminar and hear him talk for an hour.
Or not. I mean, I don't know.
AI might have taken your job by then.
It, yeah, I'll have, maybe I'll send a robot and people will like that better.
Dr. Tao, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me. And thank you, everyone, for being online with us.
Absolutely, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.